Well, good evening, everyone. It's very, very good to see you all, and thank you again for having me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to be able to come and spend a bit of time with you, to be able to look at God's Word and spend time celebrating Children's Day and all the amazing thing that God is doing through the Sunday School here in the church. I think yous were definitely a lot better than yous were this morning. This morning yous were amazing, but tonight yous were even better. There is some top singers and some even better shouters within that singing, which is what I do, so that's fine. That's really good. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time speaking to you about a story of a man that lived not that long ago. Now, it's a story that is actually very, very significant to the work of this church and to the work of a lot of other churches around the world. I'm going to read a few verses to you before we start from Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read a few of this. So thank you very much for giving me a chance to be able to speak to you about this. And thank all of you for sticking around. I thought when it was said that you could change your positions before I come and speak, I thought the position would be in your cars outside. So I'm glad that you've all stuck around. Now I'm going to read to you to Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. It says this. It says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that's a very significant verse when it comes to this story that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the story of a man that lived in the early 1700s, which was a little while ago, a little bit before anyone in this room, I think. So there's a man who lived in the 1700s, and this man's name was Robert Raikes. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about him. Now, Robert Raikes lived over in England. Robert Raikes lived in a place called Gloucester, which is in the south of England. And he lived there, and Robert Raikes, there was nothing special about Robert Raikes. He was just a normal man. He carried on with his normal job. He worked in his father's business. He went home of an evening, and he'd done normal things that normal people done of that time. Now, one of the significant things about Gloucester in the 1700s in history is the fact that it was full of street children. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Oliver? Put on the phone if you've seen it. Quite a few people have seen the movie Oliver. Now, the movie Oliver, a lot of it is based around what was going on in Gloucester at that particular time. There was a lot of orphans. They had a massive orphan crisis. So a lot of children, just like you, were living on the streets, were having to try and fend for themselves, were having to try and steal things from people, steal money and steal food in order to be able to survive day by day. And you could imagine living on the streets. It was very cold and it was very lonely. Now, Robert Raikes, every day on his way home from work, he used to see these children in the streets, and they used to be stealing from people, and they used to be trying to take things, and they used to be trying to do whatever they could to get by day, and they used to play in the streets, they lived in the streets, and Robert Raikes had compassion on these children. Robert Raikes decided one day when he was coming home from work that he would start to chat to a few of these children. Everybody used to avoid all of these children. They used to run away from them in the opposite direction because they were scared that they were going to steal things from them and they were going to maybe beat them up. So everybody used to run away from these children. Now Robert Raikes went over and he spoke to these children. He used to chat to them every night on his way home from work. Now after a little while, Robert Raikes was a Christian, and Robert Raikes went to his local church on a Sunday and he worshipped God there in the centre of Gloucester. And he thought to himself, I want to be able to speak to these children and tell them about God. Just like your Sunday school teachers do, every Sunday that they take you and they teach you about God, Robert Raikes thought, I want to tell these children about God. And after a while of chatting to these children, he decided that what he would do is he would get a group of them and he would take them to church on a Sunday. Now, as you could imagine, Robert Raikes went to this huge church in the middle of Gloucester. And he walked in one Sunday with 30 children. 30 children come walking in behind him that have never been to church before. And they came in just like you came in this evening. And they sat on the front rows just like you're sitting this evening. And they came in and they sat down on the chairs. Now everybody else in the church started to move away. And they started to move over to the other side of the church because they didn't want to be with these children. And people started to whisper. And people started to say to Robert Riggs, "Why are you bringing these children here? We don't want these children in our church. They stink. They haven't got no shoes on. They're all dirty and they don't belong in our church." That's very nasty, isn't it? That's not a very nice thing to say to people when they come into church. But yet these children all walked in and they said, "We don't want these children in our church." But all of the children sat down and they started to listen to what was going on throughout the service. Now, in his church at that time, they used to have a time of prayer. So a time where they used to get down on the knees like they used to in church in the olden days, and they used to spend a little bit of time praying to God. Now, the time came in this service where they all got down onto the knees on the floor and on the floor in front of them, like you would do in your pews, and they knelt down and they started to pray. Now, one of the children had stolen something during the week. He had stole this huge pin. Now, back in the day, you used to have these pins, and women used to be able to stick them through the hats to make sure that the hat didn't blow off or it didn't come off during the service. And they used to stick these hats right the way through and through the hair to make sure that it didn't come off. Now, one of the boys had stolen a pin during the week. Now, everybody kneeled down, and they started to pray. And this boy was there, and he was playing with this pin, and he was tapping it on the floor, and he was hitting it against things. And next minute, he looked up while he was kneeling down on the floor, and he seen the boy in front of him was kneeled down and leaning over, and he was praying. And he had this pin, and he thought, "What should I do with this pin?" And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought, "I'm not allowed. I won't be able to do this, but I really want to do it." And in the end, the boy took this pin, and he leaned forward, and he shoved it into the bum of the boy in front of him. Now, as you could imagine, this boy jumped up, and he screamed. He jumped up, and not only did he scream, he climbed over the pew that you were sitting on. He climbed over this pew, and he punched the other boy, and they started to fight in the middle of the church, and they were rolling around the floor, and they were hitting each other, and all the other kids started shouting, and they started screaming, and everybody was so, so annoyed. Everybody got so angry, so much so, that the minister came down from where he was sitting, and he came down to the floor, and he said to Robert Riggs, "Get these children out of our church." Now, Robert Riggs had to gather these children up, and they all walked out of the church. As they were going out of the church, people were muttering, and they were saying to Robert as he was leaving, "You should never have brought those children to our church. Those children aren't allowed in our church. Those children aren't nice people. We don't want them in our church. They don't belong here," is what they were saying about those children, which is horrible things to say, isn't it? Now, Robert Riggs didn't just stop there, but Robert Riggs decided he wanted to do all that he could for these children. So Robert Riggs started to meet with these children outside day by day as he was coming home from work, and he used to tell them a little bit about the Bible. And he used to talk to them, and he used to share a little bit about what God says in his amazing word to all of them. A couple of months passed, and he went back to his minister, and he said, "I really want to help these children. Can you do something for me?" And the minister said, "Those children are not allowed in our church." He said, "But if you really want to do something with them," he said, "take them off into the back room." He said, "If you really want to help them on a Sunday," he said, "take them off into the back room," he said, "and you can do something with them there." So Robert Riggs on a Sunday used to take these children, he used to bring them into the back room, and he used to give them a little bit of food, and he used to teach them something from the Bible, and he used to teach them the catechism. But you know, do all of you learn the catechism? Put your hand up if you've learned any of the catechism. Oh, it's quite a few years I've learned the catechism. Now, he used to teach these children a little bit about the catechism, and he used to teach them songs, and he used to teach them things from the Bible. Now, after a while, the church allowed him to bring them into the church for a little bit, but then during the time of prayer and during the sermon, he used to have to take the children out into the back room. And this went on for months and months and months, and people got really interested in what Robert was doing. And they said, "That's a really interesting thing that he is doing. He's taking them into that back room and he's teaching them." And people used to get involved, and some people would come and help him on different weeks. People used to start to interact with the children, and some of them even adopted the children into their own home. Because they said, "What Robert is doing is a really interesting thing. It's like he's doing school with these children, but on a Sunday." And people started to call it Sunday school. And Robert Riggs was the man who started Sunday school in the early 1700s. Because of one ordinary man doing something because he thought he cared for these children. He wanted to do something to help them. He started probably one of the biggest children's movements in the whole world. All of you go to Sunday school. There are Sunday schools right across this country, right across the world, because one man had passion for children and wanted to teach them a little bit about God. And literally millions and millions of people have been swept into the kingdom of God because of the work that Robert Raikes began all those years ago. I'm sure a lot of your parents and a lot of people sitting here this evening will have got saved because of Sunday school. And some of you may have heard the Bible for the first time because of your Sunday school class. And it's an amazing thing. And one of the things that I love about that story, and I love about a lot of the stories in the Bible, how many of you have learned about David in the Bible? How many of you have heard about Noah? How many of you have heard about Moses? Oh, good, I'm just testing you. Sunday school teachers doing a job, like. But you've heard about all of these different people. Now, one of the amazing things is that these people are just ordinary, normal people who have done an amazing thing that you can read about in the Bible, and you can read about people like Robert Raikes throughout history because they serve an amazing God. Just normal people who fail, who do things wrong, but yet done something amazing because of the grace and the love of God. And that's what separates Christianity from all other religions that you'll hear about as you grow up a little bit. What separates Christianity is that Christianity doesn't tell you that you have to be good, or it only relies on rich people, and it only relies on really powerful people, and it only relies on people who are good. But Christianity is about realizing that we're not good, that we're not perfect, but yet God still offers us the amazing gift of salvation. Christianity isn't about being great or perfect. It's about realizing that we're not, and yet we need a savior. Now, I don't know if you're a Christian here this evening. I don't know if you believe in God, whether you're just thinking about it or whether you are a Christian. But one of the things that we're taught, one of the most sort of famous verses in the Bible, is in Romans 3, chapter 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us have done something wrong. All of us have sinned, and that means that we fall short of the glory of God. The only way to get to heaven is to be perfect. We were talking about that this morning, wasn't we, with Oh No, that we realised that he wasn't perfect, that he'd done things wrong, and we need to realise that we're not perfect, and the only way to get to heaven is to be perfect. So how do we get there? Now, I'm going to show you an illustration, and I'd done this in the junior youth a little while ago, so they will have seen that if there's any of them here. But I want you to imagine that this piece of paper is like our life. There's nothing on it. We were originally created to be perfect. We were originally created to have no sin. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, knew no sin, but yet they were tempted, and they ate of the fruit of the tree, and sin entered into the world. Now, if you imagine this piece of paper is like our life, it's perfect, there's nothing wrong with it at all, and then if I take this pen and I draw a line on it, that paper is no longer perfect. No matter how much I try and rub it out, no matter how much I try and get rid of it, you can still always see it because it's no longer perfect. And that's what our life is like. That any time we sin, people say about trying to be good and trying to do all the good things that you can, and hopefully it'll outweigh your bad. But the Bible teaches us that even if we do one thing wrong, if we lie, if we steal, if we disobey our parents, then it makes us imperfect. And if we're not perfect, then we can't go to heaven. So how do we go to heaven? Well, the Bible teaches us that even though, as few of you know, in fact, I'm going to ask you, how do you think that we get to heaven? Perfect. That's a perfect way of explaining it, isn't it? We realise that we've done things wrong. We pray to God. We ask him to forgive us our sins, to come into our lives, and to come into our hearts. And God promises us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 12, God says to us that if we ask him to forgive us our sins, then God chooses to remember our sin no more. Now, if you could imagine, this is all the sins that I've done. If I take these and I say, right, I'm going to put them here, and then I say to you, where have I just put that piece of paper? Where is it? It's in my pocket, exactly. So I can take it out at any point. And that's what our life is like. Sometimes people say to us when we do things wrong and we say sorry, people say, oh, I forgive you. And then when you do something else wrong later down the line, people say, well, I don't forgive you no more because you done that thing all those years ago. And people hold on to it. And people are bitter. But God says that he's not like that. God says that he chooses to remember our sin no more. And that is what is amazing about God, is that he not only forgives us, but he chooses to remember us no more. So he doesn't just put it away in his pocket and waits for us to do something else bad. And then says to us, right, you've done all of these things bad. Now you can't go to heaven, like a lot of other religions teach. God says that he chooses to remember our sins no more. So he gets rid of them so they can never be brought up again. Just like if I take this piece of paper, Chesney's having a laugh at this probably. Take this piece of paper, and if you was to do this, take it, and then that's gone. Where's that piece of paper now? It's nowhere. It's gone. And that is exactly what God says to us in the Bible. He says that he chooses to remember our sin no more. He gets rid of it. It's gone. It can never be brought back. And that's what God promises us in his word. God has given us an amazing gift of salvation. And he's offering it to us for free. And all we need to do, like we said this morning, is accept that we are a sinner who has done things wrong. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into our lives, as you said, to come into our lives, to come into our hearts, to forgive us our sins, to take it away. It's something that is offered to us, and it's not offered to us lightly. It's the most important decision you will ever make, asking God to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins and give you everlasting life. So if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian here this evening, remember that great gift that God has offered to us. As it says there in verse 31, I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus came so that he could offer people that have done things wrong a chance to be forgiven and to go to heaven. Although we're not perfect, Jesus took that sin on himself and died and rose again so that we could go to heaven. So do remember what's been offered. And if you are saved, remember that story that I told you about Robert Rakes. No matter how young you are, no matter how much you think you can't do things, take the story of Robert Rakes and remember that God can use you with all of your imperfections, all of the things that we do wrong, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, God can use us and do amazing things for him. Not because we're great people, but because we serve an amazing God. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that you remembered a little bit of what God said this morning and this evening. And that if you're not a Christian, then you'll ask God to come into your life and you'll ask him to forgive your sins and come into your heart.
Do thank Danny for coming and speaking to us tonight. And we do thank God for Robert Rakes. So many years ago, starting the Sunday schools and how vital they are. I was saved as a result of a Sunday school teacher under God. And we thank God for the work of the Sunday school. Now, just now.